Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
That's right, fellas and ladies out there as well. The drive is live. B. Scott is in. Clint will be in and be back tomorrow, I believe. Tyler as well. You can see him on YouTube and Twitch. You can see him on, you see all of us on YouTube and Twitch. Those of you on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans. We appreciate you joining us. Interesting day. Should be an interesting day. A lot to get to. A lot of news there with the Texans and with the Astros as well. We'll get to. But appreciate you joining us in here. And like you said, what'd you say right off the bat? Celebration out there for old Jarrett Patterson. Huh?
Yeah, man. Yeah, you come in here and it's like
up, baby.
Jarrett Patterson day.
Jarrett Patterson.
I mean, I understand what everybody's saying about Nico Collins and Will Anderson. Those are obviously the better players. But where are they most desperate? Where are the Texans in the most of need? They got to have something. And look, I'm going to be honest with you, man. JP had a good series before he got concussed a couple of weeks ago. But I don't even know right now or feel comfortable that they have the answer. It's Jarrett Patterson, that it's Kendrick Green, that it's somebody else on the practice squad or someone deep down the depth chart that we have never heard of. Like, I'm not sure that they have the answer, but that's the biggest need. Like, that could be the thing that takes them from being the offense that can't get right to humming again. Well, just some competent left guard play, if they could get that.
Well, we know they're going to have a change because Kenyon Green is out. We know they're going to have a change, and Jarrett Patterson is healthy. He was the one that went in initially. I would imagine that he is on the field somehow. Whether he's the center and Juice moves over to guard like last year, or he's the guard and they keep Juice at center, I'd imagine he is on the field at some point.
Yeah, I can't imagine any other scenario. So Jarrett Patterson.
Maybe they really liked what they saw from Kendrick Green.
But the fact that they didn't put Kendrick Green in ahead of Jarrett Patterson
initially,
or even after he went down, that they put Kenyon back in there. And the only thing that got Kendrick Green on the field was Kenyon Green himself going down and no Jarrett Patterson as an option because he had been concussed. Like, the fact that that's what it took just to get Kendrick Green on the field and then he didn't play as well after that tells me how much confidence they have in him right now. So, yeah, no, I'd be shocked if they went any other direction than Jarrett Patterson as your left guard. And then you get to see, with hopefully a larger sample size than just one series, you get to see if that could help fix some of these issues.
All right, to go along with a little of the practice stuff, guys that returned this week, we'll get the official injury report down the line. But as we said, Jarrett Patterson, center, guard, whatever position he plays, he is needed. He did return to practice off of that concussion. He has cleared the NFL concussion protocol. I think this is big. Texans linebacker Azeez Alshire returned to practice, as well as Jimmy Ward returned to practice. So those two are back, and those are the captains and leaders of this defense of this team. And we heard CJ say they are void of leadership, or they needed help with leadership.
Did he say that?
Checked out, not void. Sorry, need leaders to step up. He said that after the game. And then, as we said earlier, Nico Collins, according to Aaron Wilson, passes all the hamstring tests, no setbacks, not designated for return yet to practice. And I'll just speak on that real quick, fellas. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. If he wasn't ready to go to practice today, he'd go ahead and send him down.
I don't know if that's true.
I'm telling you. Listen,
oh, you're saying that's what you would do?
You what, okay, I got what you. This guy over here, you cannot afford for him to have any kind of re-injury today.
I got you.
You cannot. Like, he has got to be. It's got to be the Dusty Baker deal of, hey, if he's ready, give him another day. Because that is, to me, they cannot afford a setback with him that he has to miss another several weeks. They can't afford a Christian Harris, and we will get to Christian Harris. Okay, we're not going
to
sit here. I'm done. I'm not going to sit here and just act like,
is that a football player?
I am.
I've been charged him to the game. I want to hear y'all out on this because I've been charged Christian Harris to the game long ago.
I have a good thought in mind to have a Christian Harris daily segment until we get answers.
I respect it, but is the silence not deafening to you? Silence not loud as hell?
I need somebody to say something.
Does it not scream season ending?
I think because I'm right now in the space where I'd rather the Astros handle this.
It sounds like they are.
The Astros.
They might be, bro.
The Astros at least say something. They at least say something, whether it's inaccurate or not. Where they put their foot in their mouth, they at least say something.
They said, we'll see where he's at. We'll see where he's at.
They at least say
something towards
the injury. All right, I want it. But with Nico, then they cannot afford, to have him injured. So
yeah. So with that, and I've been saying this, man. Nico to me is the second most important player to me on this team. Just because of his talent, because of his production, after C.J. Stroud, Nico Collins, for me, is the second most important player on the team. But I do think...
Oh, no, Joe Mixon is creeping up.
No. Joe Mixon makes a case, and I think he makes a solid case, okay? But to me, both of them qualify in the space of there's nobody else like this on the team. That's why I could go either way, Joe Mixon or Nico Collins. Just because you can't replicate it, I think the best argument for Joe Mixon being the most important player is the fact that you got Tank Dell can go out there and get you 100 yards receiving. You still have a number one receiving option absent of Nico Collins, and so you can feel good about that. I think that also supports the idea that you don't rush him back if he's not 100%
ready
to go. But for me, he's just so damn good, and Mixon's right there too. But the way Collins was playing before his injury, he is so damn good and so damn valuable to what you're doing. I wouldn't want to put him out there knowing that I can throw the ball to Tank Dell, and that I can hope that Jared Patterson gives me a little bit of something on my offensive line that gives me more time to spread it around to these other guys who obviously ain't Nico Collins.
If he's good, that's one thing. That'd be 100%. I'm just saying right now, based off what I'm seeing right now, he ain't practicing on Wednesday. So give him another week.
No, yeah.
Give him another week.
This is the 10th game of the season, of the regular season. Yeah. You got a winning record and you're leading your division, which mm-hmm. turns out to be pitiful, is not the type of urgency that requires putting out Nico Collins with a gimpy hamstring.
If there is any possibility where it is like he's feeling a twit or not quite right, let's just wait. Let's just wait because you cannot afford him to miss. Because that's been the saving grace of, all right, yeah, Diggs, damn, he went down. You don't love that. We ain't got to make a move. But we know Nico's coming back. And when Nico was last on the field, he had the production of the best receiver in football.
Yeah.
So that's the saving grace. You can't lose that saving grace.
And that's why I say most important, because to me, in today's game, in 2024 NFL, a guy who can be the best receiver in football, especially with competent quarterback play, with good to above average quarterback play, to me is just inherently more valuable than a guy that could be the best runner in football, the best running back in football, which I think Joe Mixon is making a case for. So it's about the position and it's about how well Nico was playing. But I'm with you right there. Like, I don't feel like you need to rush this dude back. It's absolutely not worth it.
No reason, right? As you said, you got a three-game lead in the division. No need to.
But unless this is part of the ramp-up too, though. Like, it could be that he is ready, but as part of the ramp-up, you kind of take it easy in practice.
Sure.
So if that's the implication, like, hey, he – you know, as part of this process, he was never going to practice on a Wednesday anyway. We were going to ease him into practice. Then that's a different discussion. But if there's any question about his readiness, nah, sit him down.
Yeah. All right, Brandon Scott in the building. Clint's out today. I'm still not over the fact that they let everybody around them make all kinds of moves and they didn't do nothing. I'm not supposed to move on. I think I even may have lied to myself and said, let's turn the page and move on. I ain't going to lie to you. I thought.
What move did you want them to make?
I think you had to be super aggressive for a lineman. I think super aggressive for an offensive lineman. I'm not saying you go give up a third, fourth, and a sixth the way that the Washington Commanders did to get Marshon Lattimore, although I wouldn't have hated it if it was the right type of person. I think you got to get super aggressive. And, like, I mean, the Vikings, they lose their left tackle. They go and get Cam Robinson for a seventh-round pick. I think you got to be extremely aggressive. I think you could have been aggressive in the secondary, too, to grab another cover, a cover guy. You know, I think there are a couple of places. But I am just, like, when you look at it and you see Pittsburgh, bam, they're going. They're making multiple moves. The Ravens making multiple moves. The Chiefs making multiple moves. The Bills making moves, or at least a move with Amari Cooper. I still can't get that. And I'm not going to lie to you. I thought ultimately the Jets game was going to be good for them. I thought it was going to be a good thing because I thought after watching that Jets game, there is no way that they watch that game and think to themselves, maybe we straight.
Yeah, we're close. We're there.
Like, it could have been. It was an injury to it, so that forces a move to be made. Like, if you watch that, like, that's the worst, right? The 8 sacks and 11 hits. Like, it's got to do an all-time worst. And CJ laid down on the ground multiple times. I thought the Jets game was going to be a situation of yes, we got our ass kicked on the field. We lost. But this is a wake-up call where it was just such a slap in the face of, hey, guys,
it's over.
We cannot go on without this. Like, we have to do something. We have to do something. But it wasn't. That is really throwing me off. Because, like, for me, B, I can't tell. Is this mean that they feel a certain way about this team? Not to be aggressive, but go get them. I cannot believe the Jets came that they stayed put.
Yeah, no, I think they'd have to be blind, crippled, or crazy to not believe in the urgency, to not think that they needed to do everything that you just talked about. So I'm not going to argue against the need to have a sense of urgency about the interior offensive line. I actually lean more towards your secondary point. Like, I'm a little bit more urgent in that way because I think that they've pretty much done all they can do. It's just failed. Like, I think they've tried with the offensive line and the guys that they've paid and the guys that they've drafted, and it just has not worked out the way that they wanted to. I'm going to be honest with you, too. I don't know if I trust them in evaluating the offensive linemen. Like, hey, go trade for an interior offensive lineman. I don't know if I trust them to go out there and get one that's actually any good because they've paid some and they've drafted some that have not turned out to be as good or to have played to or measured up to the amount that they've paid for them in a lot of ways. So I don't know if I trust the evaluation, the coaching, the analysis, the overall, like, everything that goes into making an offensive line. I am not sure if the Texans have earned the spot right now to even be trusted with that.
You don't trust them.
That's not to say that they shouldn't do anything.
I'm about to say, you got
but,
to do
but
something.
But it's hard for me to get outraged about something that I don't, about them not doing something that I don't even feel like they're good at to begin with. And on top of that, they made this bed and got a lie in it. Like, this is...
Yeah, but with this bed that they're lying in, their quarterback is the one taking...
And it's a damn shame. It's a shame. I give you a tissue. I cry with you. We can go to therapy about it. But this is what you did. You invested in an offensive line. You're paying the most. At least last year you were, and it's still the same guys. You have invested the most into your offensive line. I don't think it's a lack for trying.
I didn't say that.
I think it's a matter of, hey, we've tried. We failed. We just might not be good at evaluating, acquiring, and putting together offensive lines.
And so now it's 6-3 with your clear problem. To hell with it. Just get better.
It's not even to hell with it. It's just
sound like you say it.
No, it's just hard to get worked up about something You know, it's hard to get worked up about something that you're not even good at. It's like, hey, you could have taken a swing, but I'm not sure if I would have believed in it to begin with.
So just don't take it.
And by the way, we're talking about the thing that's hardest to do. Go out there and acquire a guard that's worth a damn.
The biggest bugaboo.
Like, to me, going out and getting a guard, a starting level guard at the trade deadline, is much harder than getting a receiver or a cornerback or a linebacker or an edge rusher. Usually those guys do not become available, and you do have to get super aggressive, like you said.
Before you finish this point.
This is what it is. This is life.
Do you think if they wanted to, they could have made a move to go get
I'm not convinced that they could have. Okay. For the amount of money that they've paid Stephon Diggs, they gave Stephon Diggs extra money that they didn't have to give him. They have invested as much as they have in their offensive line. They've got like the 11th most cap space, they're toward the bottom in terms of cap space because of that deal. I think that they backed themselves into a corner, in a position where they put all their eggs in the offseason basket. Hey, one of the best off seasons that we've ever seen, the best offseason in the NFL and all of that. Did all that they did in the offseason to invest in this team in a way that backed them into a corner to where this is the team. In terms of significant upgrades, like, they can do some stuff around the margins, trade a Khalil Davis out of here, add somebody to the practice squad, and nickel and dime their way to a roster. But as far as significant moves, ones that move the needle, they did them already. And so this be the team.
I believe in Nick Caserio.
This is the team. Sink or swim, pass or fail, this is what we're dealing with. And I think it is an indictment on the way that they went about this offensive line, and how they evaluated it, the fact that they thought that Kenyon Green was their best option to begin with, and they didn't have a viable contingency plan going into it. I criticize them for that, for backing themselves into a corner, but actually being in this position, I think this is the best they could do. In terms of offensive line, I'd like to see them do something with cornerback or a position like that. But a guard, I don't know if you could go get you a guard that's much better than Jarrett Patterson at this point at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Because them dudes don't really just be out there. It is harder to get.
Yeah,
it's not impossible, but it's just harder to do.
It's not impossible. Yeah, like, usually people don't give up Marshawn Lattimore's, but it's out there. Like, you know, usually, like, I disagree that they could not have got an upgrade over that
without knowing for sure that they could have. It's hard for me to get worked up about it. The answer to your question is we do not know. I know that's not as sexy, but we do not know. And without knowing and knowing the position that they're in, it's hard to get worked up about it. Like, they are in a less than ideal position to be trading for interior offensive linemen. They should have done a better job of planning for it from the beginning. I don't feel bad for them. I don't feel sorry for them about it. This is what they did.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
I hope you don't think I feel bad or feel sorry for them. I'm just sitting here to the point of, you have a glaring hole. You call yourself contenders. You banged in the offseason. This is, we were making all-in moves. And you sit on your damn hands. No, you can miss me with the they could not have they could not have brought anyone in as an upgrade.
And they say no.
But I'm just surprised that and even to that point, the offensive line is a glaring one, but even to the point you made, I mean, as Kamari Lassiter's falling on the ground on a 4th-and-1, and as Jalen Petrie is just getting done in.
See, that's where I'm at.
We're
lockstep on that.
It could have, there is an addition to be made right now. From Tommy from YouTube and Twitch. Ron thinks the Texans owe him something. I don't give a damn, be honest with you. They can go and lose them all, I guess. I don't care. I'm just
I don't understand comments.
I'm watching
like
it.
That.
Are you
a fan friend out there, Texan?
Like
but think about it from this logic. The same team that did the Stephon Diggs trade, the same team that did the Joe Mixon trade, the same team that went out there and signed Daniil Hunter to $50 million damn near guaranteed, that's the one that all of a sudden we're talking about isn't aggressive? Like, I just can't bring myself to think that just several months removed from having an aggressive offseason, that they're a team that just is doesn't care, isn't trying, or wouldn't have done it if they could have done it. I think they would have done it if it was something that was smart and something that was actually available to them, but I just don't think it was there. I don't think it was there. Not in an ideal way, right? Like, they would have had to have been super.
You can't say that about the cornerback spot.
Like I'm talking about interior offensive line. On cornerback,
all the other.
I am disappointed and have been since the beginning and remain this way in what they've done with the cornerback or how the cornerback position has played out. I would say would have liked to have seen them do something with that.
All right, coming up on the other side, we'll a lot to get to here with the Texans. Dana Brown had some things to say about his third baseman, Alex Bregman. Boy, I hope he doesn't make a mistake with this. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
You disappointed they didn't make a move at the deadline?
I am disappointed.
Tyler, you disappointed they didn't make a move at the deadline?
Yeah, a little.
Yeah, it's interesting to see on the 5-hour Energy fan text line so many people defending the Texans or giving them excuses. Hey, Ron, maybe there's just not a guard for them to make a move for.
They're all fixable.
I do believe in some of these excuses, but the excuses don't make it less disappointing. Like, because I just argued that, but I'm still disappointed in it because what it really roots back to is the fact that this was their situation to begin with, and also they could have added to that secondary. That's the move I wanted to see him make. So
it sucks, boy. The Texans just in a different spot, man, than the Vikings, Commanders, Chiefs, Bills, Ravens.
Yeah, they are. None of those teams gave Stephon Diggs $22 million this year for 8 games.
Oh, no.
Some of them guys are playing quarterbacks, but
yeah,
it's just everybody else maybe slip in there.
Yeah, but the paying the quarterback part doesn't have anything to do with it. Like it still comes down to how much you're paying, how much you're spending on your team overall. And so the paying a quarterback, not paying their quarterback with the Texans factored into the ability to give Stephon Diggs the money that they did. I don't think that Stephon Diggs gets that money if CJ Stroud is on his second contract, but that still left them in a spot where their back is against the wall, and they don't have a whole lot to play with. And to me, that part, like,
I just
said,
the quarterback thing is because I think there are a lot of teams that have their backs against the wall.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, their backs were against the wall, and that to me is just as problematic. Like, I think we are kind of splitting hairs in what we have a problem with. I think it actually gets us to the same place. Like, you did not manage this whole thing properly.
Oh, we completely agree on that.
Either by not making a move or putting yourself in a position to where you didn't feel comfortable making a move, not feeling comfortable being aggressive, whether it's draft capital or the amount of money that you'd have to pay a legitimate guard. Like, either way, you found yourself in a position either where you didn't want to make a move, didn't feel like making a move, or didn't feel like you could make a move, none of which is acceptable. None of it.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the Astros news. General Manager Dana Brown had this to say about chances to keep his third baseman, Alex Bregman.
Yeah, we've had a lot of discussions with Scott Boras, multiple conversations. So we hope that they've been productive, and we're hoping that some good things happen.
Do you feel like you have a decent chance?
I think we have a really good chance.
All right, okay. Says they have a really good chance.
Okay. Because I was just about to say, what does productive mean? What is a productive?
You're telling me there's a chance.
What's a productive negotiation that has not yet resulted in a deal? Like, what? How do you know it's productive?
It's just good talks. Good conversation.
I mean, I'm sure they like each other.
Good conversation.
I'm sure it's pleasant conversation.
Share some feelings.
Have you seen the numbers being thrown out as a projection?
I have.
I saw 7 for $189. I saw 6 for $180. Yeah. Also, that was prior to him being a Silver Slugger finalist and winning the Gold Glove.
Yes.
But that seems to be what people are projecting his market to be.
Shout out to my guy, Alex Bregman.
In that range.
I feel like that seventh year run, honestly, man, I feel like that seventh year is going to be the death knell. And I hate it. You want to talk about criticizing the front office?
So you would be straight with 6. Like, you would...
Oh, yeah. I would do 6.
How old is Alex?
30, 31.
31.
30, 30 or 30. I think he'll be 31 this season.
He's crossed 30, right?
He's definitely crossed 30. He is at least 30, and I think he'll be 31 this season.
Turns 31 before spring training gets going, I believe. In the middle of spring training, actually.
He'll be 31 before the season starts.
Yep. This will be his age 31 season. Yeah, I do... I, Look, you know that the back end, a lot of these deals is not going to be great. But in order to ensure that you get the guy, that you get the best years of him, sometimes you got to add a little bit of fat on there. And look, you're trying to win a World Series. We're talking about the Astros here. I'm not trying to build a team or build a franchise. Like, you're built. You're trying to, you know, keep your head above water. I would want to keep Alex Bregman.
I'm doing the World Series.
I'd do the six. Now, the seventh, I understand that being a little bit too much. But
who
I feel
have
like
they done six with?
I feel like they've done extensions.
Have they done six? Because I did Altuve.
I think Altuve
his
got
last,
six.
His, this
Altuve
last one
was somewhere in that neighborhood.
This last one wasn't six. Maybe the one before that. I know. We obviously know the people they did not do six with. And I'm talking about six as a second contract, right?
Like, yeah. Most of those cats have left. Like most of the candidates that you're thinking about, Ron, have left. George Springer. Carlos Correa, Garrett Cole before them.
Kyle Tucker on his way out.
Dallas Keuchel before that. Kyle Tucker on his way out. That's another great example.
I
think Yordan's extension is probably that. But like most of those long.
But that's that's the first one, yeah. Which is not going to be one.
Yeah.
But 180.
But it's still more so about, I think, about the years. Like, I think it's more about the years than the money.
Feels huge.
Yeah, I think they do the six. I think they would do that.
I got to be honest. This to me, for the numbers that are being thrown out, the six or the seven, the Astros shouldn't even touch that, to me. Not 6 years. We're looking at, what, 37 at the end of that sucker?
Yeah, I can't think that far ahead.
Well, I know you can't, but I mean, it's guaranteed.
I might be dead by
then. Sucker's guaranteed. Let's pray for that. Let's not hope that you are. I really enjoy your shirt today. It just says, try me. I feel like that was on purpose.
Yep.
Messaging. But giving him that much for that long at 31 when the season starts, and as you said earlier on the crosstalk, like as we know, he's going to have his slow starts. And this was beyond a slow start. This was just a bad first half. That he turned on in the second half.
Snail's pace.
I believe Alex shouldn't turn down market value. Because to me, what the Astros should pay Alex Bregman, it should be almost what Correa did and a slap. What they should be willing to pay him for what type of player he is right now. Because I don't think he's ascending. I don't think this is a deal, Tyler, that we have seen. We haven't seen the best of him yet.
No, we've definitely seen the best.
And not just the best of him. Like, I don't know that he's growing off of this past season. Right? Like, I don't think these slow starts are going anywhere. I don't get a sense that he is going to really improve. And hold on. I'm not saying I believe that with Altuve. I just think Altuve is just Derek Jeter to this franchise, and he's not going anywhere. But to me, when you're still trying to win, I believe the Astros can allocate that money, and I trust the decisions that they make. I believe they can allocate that money to being a better baseball team than to giving him, being stuck with that with him for that long. I think they can. I'll be honest with you. I'd like for them to maybe really think about being serious with Kyle Tucker, which I don't think they're going to with the amount of years that it would take. I would hope they would break that down with him, but I feel like they can get better in the outfield. They could get better at different spots in the lineup, in the rotation. To me, giving him 6-7 damn years for $180, $190 million.
Is Braggy being ridiculous?
For where he projects to be? Woo!
And see, for me, they did such a bad job replacing the last first baseman. I don't trust them replacing the current third baseman. I don't feel like the Astros can afford to take a step back. And I don't trust the plan to replace Alex Bregman. He is still one of the top four or five.
Dana didn't do that.
Dana didn't do what?
Dana didn't do Abreu. That happened. That was, man. Jeff. Remember? That happened right before Dana arrived.
Did Jeff go somewhere? is Jeff gone?
I think they took away Jeff.
I'm just saying, man.
I think they took
first base on first base crime, man.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, come on, man. He made Kikuchi deals. He made some good deals. Like, give him a chance.
I can get past the Bregman thing if I can find a succession plan, and I don't know what that is.
Now, the succession plan doesn't have to be third base. It could be filled in other areas.
But I don't want to get.
But you don't even want to.
I don't want to get worse at third base, though. Like, I feel like they already got worse at first base because of what they did with it, right? They're going to get worse in the outfield because of the Kyle Tucker thing. I'm with you on that. I'd like for them to do that. I feel like part of me is, because they're not going to do that, wants them to at least keep one of their players that is top five at his position. Ooh. So I'd like to see him keep him.
All right. The path for the Texans. I still believe. I don't know if they can execute it, but there is a path, and not just a path to a Super Bowl. We've seen it recently that the Texans, I think, is their best path to do. We'll discuss.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Test that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. Brandon Scott is in as Clint Sterner is out. Be back in tomorrow. Appreciate you joining us here. Whether you're listening to us on YouTube and Twitch, you can catch us there, as well as those of you on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans. Appreciate you jumping on with us. The Texans sit at 6-3, and you know, due to injuries and due to new evidence, they're a different team.
Yes,
they're a different team than we expected them to be. Right? I think coming in, you thought this was going to be a team led by your offense. You thought this was going to be a team specifically led by the great player of your second year quarterback, who thought, man, he might slide in and be a top five quarterback. Hell, he may be a top three quarterback, is what the thought was. You've got, you know, Nico Collins, you got Stephon Diggs, you got Tank Dell, you got Dalton Schultz, you got Joe Mixon. I believe they referred to themselves as a five-headed monster is what they did.
They did. Oh, man. That feels like ages ago.
Well, I mean, in fairness to them, all five of them ain't really got a lot of time to play with.
Yeah.
Play with each other.
That's the game, though.
But this is a different team, and the defense you thought may have some growth, but they have been more of a run the football defensive type of team. And we've talked about it with coaches and everything, and a little bit in our first segment. You don't just throw your hands up, you just try to figure out a different way to do it. You figure out what your strengths are, and you try to play to that, and you try to win, you know, as many football games and get as far as you can. And I think this team adjusted last year. I think they wanted to come out and be a run physical team with Damian Pierce. They clearly saw that wasn't it, so they had to change course and do things differently. I think they got to change course. And they've started to do it, but I do think there is a historical path for them to take. I don't know if they can execute this thing, Brandon. I don't. But to me, it is the best path for them to get as far as they can.
Well, so is it a path, though, if they can't execute? Like, do you not know if they can execute it, or do you not think that they can execute it? Just to be clear on this, before we even lay out the path, do you not know that they can do what you're about to say, or do you legitimately not think that they can do this?
I don't know.
Let's lay it out there the people decide.
I just believe if they are to get to the best potential way for them to make it, like, if you think, can they still make a run to an AFC championship game or a Super Bowl?
Sure.
This to me is the route. And that is of last year's Kansas City Chiefs. To me, that is the route. And I understand, that's like Tyler just rose up and looked like, what? Hold on. I understand like what they have, but when you look at it, what the Chiefs were last year, they were number two in defense. The Texans are pretty high in certain spots defensively. We understand like their historic rate in terms of teams, quarterbacks, completion percentage against them when you factor in the air. The Richardson and Josh Allen ball games.
Yes.
Especially at home. But they were the number two defense. They routinely held teams to 21 points or less. 17 of the 20 games that they played last year, they held opponents to 21 or less. One of them was 22 to the 49ers, and that happened in overtime.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was a formula for them. They ran the football. Isaiah Pacheco became more of a big part of their team. And then it was like, hey, Mahomes, we need you to close it on and go make a play. Mahomes and Kelsey, go make a play, right? And that became, and then they used their great kicker. They would kick 3, 4, 5 field goals. So I think the Texans have the element of the kicker. I think the Texans right now have the element of a quarterback that, now maybe not to Mahomes, not to Mahomes' level,
right?
But they have a quarterback that you can feel like, hey, man, if we keep the game to a certain level, we want to go ask him to go make a play that him and Nico and Tank can go make some plays at a certain level. Maybe not up to their level, but they can go make some plays. So, to me, that is – because they're not going to be a team that's just going to – we're about to put up 40 and we're going to drop this thing back like I think they thought they can, because they just can't protect, right? They didn't do anything at the break. They obviously – or at the deadline, and they obviously completely misevaluated what they had across the front. And that's starters and backups. So I think they have to change pace and use Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon's better than Pacheco.
Yeah.
Right? Like I think their running game has a chance to be better. But to me, to mirror what the Chiefs did, and the Chiefs finally made a decision midway in the season, said, all right, we can't go and be the Mahomes offense that we thought we could be. We got to be running the ball, score, play towards our defense. And I think that has got to be the formula now for the Texans. Again, I still, as we talk it out loud, I am not certain if they can execute that. But to me, that is their best route.
Yeah, so I agree with the formula. I'm with you on that. I am in a space of not actually being sold that they can stay true to the formula, that they can actually make that work. Or not that they can't make that work. I just don't feel like all of the elements are there that we described just now, the way you just laid it out, right? Like, I do think that it's a team that can be led by its defense at times, but I don't think it's a defense that's anywhere near as strong as the Chiefs one from last year. I do think that C.J. Stroud is a game breaker, the type of quarterback that you want to have the ball in his hands at the end of the game, even with the type of games that he's had over the last couple of weeks, the Jets game, the Green Bay game from a couple of weeks ago. Not, like, just glowing parts of his resume, per se, but I still believe in C.J. Stroud. So I think it's a good defense. I believe in the franchise quarterback, but I don't think that they have the elements that reach the level that the Chiefs did last year between the defense or the quarterback, and certainly not the offensive play caller, the play designer. Like, that's
Andy Reid portion of it, yes.
Yeah, that's the one part of it.
I'm not saying
it's
a perfect match now.
It's not a perfect match, but that's the one part of it where the comparison starts to break off completely. Because you don't – I mean, you're tapped into – to Chiefs Nation, if you will, for lack of a better term. There is nobody in the Chiefs fandom or media or anywhere that you can find that's questioning if Andy Reid knows what he's doing. There are serious questions about that in terms of who the offensive play caller is here in Houston. And then on top of that, you don't quite have the game-breaking defense that I think that the Kansas City Chiefs had last year. And C.J. Stroud, while on his way to becoming great, I do think is going to be a great quarterback in his league, has not given you that level of comfort that I know Chiefs fans got to have when Patrick Mahomes has the
ball. I agree. I think it is at a lower level, maybe like a poor man's version of it. But for me, I think that's what they have to embrace. I think, like, to me, that is – because I, like, if you tell me, all right, no, there's a better way that they should give themselves the best chance to win, I'm not certain that there's one better than
– But here's the problem with being the poor man's Chiefs, Ron. The Chiefs are still the Chiefs. So, like, you actually, if you're trying to realize your dreams or achieve your goals this year, you still at some point theoretically got to go through the Chiefs, right? And I know you already beat the Bills, but, like, I don't think being a poor man's version of a team that won the Super Bowl last year bodes well to beating actual contenders this year, which include those same Chiefs for the most part, and then the Ravens that obviously have not played yet, but you know, handled business last year and looked pretty damn good.
Now, I did not say that this is a thing that will get them to that.
But it's the formula.
I'm just saying the formula, and maybe they perfect it and they get better at it and better at it, but that to me has to be, that has to be their way. Because they can't just keep dropping him back 30, 40, you know, however many times and letting him get drilled. Because what they're doing right now is not, they need to minimize possessions, run the football, play to their defense, like it, and go about it that way. Because this way, like if they try to run out here and do what they've been doing against the Lions, I mean they may get run up out the building.
That loss to the Packers really messed me up on formulas, because they won the time of possession and turnover battle by a lot.
But they were close in that.
They were close.
They were close in that. They just
but
just,
they lost.
But I'm saying that was closer to the formula. CJ just couldn't.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Couldn't make enough plays late. But their defense, they played it, they were shorthanded. I think that is the route to me for them to go. All right. Coming up as we are 1 hour down. B-Scott said this is a big day. This is a big day on Sunday for CJ Stroud, who we just talked about. This is a big time day, an important day right now in his NFL football history right now coming up. On Sunday, we will discuss that as we continue live right here on The Drive.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.